Worship First podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Lord God, we thank you for being a God who holds the whole world in your hands. We thank you for being a God who can be concerned about the sparrow and concerned about us, God. We thank you that even in the midst of chaos, you can call forth order. You can call forth the beauty of creation, even from nothingness, even from chaos, God. And so we invite you to this worship space. We thank you for dwelling among us, God, as we connect from our homes, all with a desire to worship you, the God who puts a song in our hearts. You, the God who is the reason that we can sing because we're happy. We can sing because we're free. We can sing because your eye is on the sparrow and your eye is on each and every one of us. God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and how you are. And we thank you that you see fit to speak down through the generations, Lord God, through your holy and living word. And so we come now to this moment to hear a word from you. God, I pray that you speak, because we, your servants, need a word from you this morning. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. It is in the name of your Son, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399. 8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, we can come to Christ and always depend on Him. Let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Church, freedom ain't free. It is a common expression that helps us remember the cost of our liberty. And this weekend, some of you may have paused to ponder the cost of freedom as you fired up your grills at home. Or you might have chosen to chill inside and watch the Broadway production of Hamilton, a snapshot of our country's history set to a banging hip-hop soundtrack. And while you watch those stories, you might have thought about the untold story of our nation's history. Some may have even been reluctant to celebrate because of those untold stories. Stories of Native Americans, of enslaved Africans, stories of free people forced into bondage, of freedom fighters. And because freedom ain't free, because so many folks still don't experience liberty, Independence Day may have felt different this year. You may have seen the video that NPR created of two generations of Frederick Douglass's descendants, his great-great-great-grandchildren and his great-great-great-great-grandchildren, reciting a speech that he delivered on July 4, 1852. This speech, almost 170 years old, could have just as easily have been given yesterday. What is the 4th of July to the slave could just as easily be called. What is the 4th of July to people of color? What is the 4th of July to black men walking around with a target on their back? What is the 4th of July to children who go to sleep hungry at night? What is it to parents who work 2 and 3 jobs to barely be able to make ends meet? As his speech said, above your national tumultuous joy, I hear the mournful wails of millions. I hear the mournful wails of millions. He's talking about the millions who have still not received the nation's promise. The millions who the founding fathers didn't even have in mind when they penned the Declaration of Independence. I believe he's talking about the millions who are tired of waiting to be seen as 5/5 of a person, a whole person, versus just skin color. One of his descendants said it this way. He had a lot of hope, especially for his age. And I'm getting to the point in my life where I'm only 20 years old, but I'm exhausted. Will we ever get there? The young man asked. Is this something we should keep fighting for? This 20-year-old, new to the freedom fight, is exhausted. This 20-year-old who has ingenious abolitionist DNA in his body is tired. This 20-year-old whose inheritance includes the ability to outlearn and outwit slaveholders while creating a legacy that outlasts slavery. This young man says he's tired. Even youth grow weary. The prophet Isaiah tells us. And so Christ calls out to us, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Freedom ain't free, Jesus says. So come to me, all you who cannot secure your own liberty. Depend on me, even when the world is encouraging you to be independent. Come to me. Sometimes the cost of freedom is war. And the most revolutionary war ever fought was the war Christ waged for our souls. Paul writes about it in Romans 7, beginning with the 21st verse. He says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner, he says, of the law of sin at work in me. Friends, God sees us fighting a war with sin that we can't win. Paul says, what I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, Lord, I'm so busy doing them. Who will free me from this body that is subject to death? Who will fight for me? Who will war against what wars against me? Paul says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus. And we might add, thanks be to God who delivers us through the body of Christ, through the body of believers that we spend time fellowshipping with, studying the word with. Thanks be to God who delivers us through the way we pray for and with one another. Thanks be to God who delivers us through Christ Jesus, who is in each and every one of us and who has yoked us to one another. After Christ invites the weary to come to him, after Christ invites the burden to come to him, he makes a promise. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Christ adds, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's rest here for a minute. We know that a yoke was a farm tool that helped animals pull the plow. And we know that the plow breaks up the ground to prepare it for growth and productivity. So that's just like Jesus, right? To promise us rest and then give us a job all in the same breath. Because the one who wants to save his life will lose it, right? And the one who loses or sacrifices his life will gain it. His lessons may seem contradictory, but Christ makes it clear. You won't find peace in the things you chase after. Come to me. Your busyness won't bless you like I can, so come to me. You can trust that my grace really is sufficient. Come. One translation of the verse says it this way. Are you tired? Worn out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Jesus says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Christ says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. So keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Church, we need to know that carpenters custom made a yoke for animals. Custom made. I can hear the elders singing, he knows, yes, he knows just how much we can bear. And I can also hear someone else saying, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. If it ain't one thing, it's another. And I'm overwhelmed. And this really is more than I can bear. And if that's you today, then I dare you to answer the invitation. Come to me. Take my yoke. When Jesus spoke of his yoke, he was talking about a way of life, discipleship. Our task in life is tailor-made to fit us. It's our yoke, one pastor said. Come, take up this way of life that will help you live your purpose, that will help you find peace. Come, take up this way of life that will enable you to labor alongside others. Take up this way of life that will allow you to work and still find rest. You know that good feeling you get when you've done something good? You know how you get tired and energized when you spend some time volunteering somewhere or serving others? That's what it feels like to find rest for your soul by taking up Christ's yoke. Because one definition of weary is not just to be tired, but it is to be impatient or dissatisfied with something. Slaves and abolitionists were not just weary, tired. They were weary, dissatisfied, weary, ready to be yoked to others who would help break the yoke of slavery. Rosa Parks wasn't just weary, tired. She was weary, dissatisfied, and weary, ready to be yoked to others who would walk to work spring, summer, winter, fall for a whole year as they boycotted. those marching today for George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Elijah McCall and Vanessa Guillen are not just weary tired. Folks are weary dissatisfied with the status quo and ready to be yoked to others who will help them change the system. I don't know what has you weary tired today or weary dissatisfied, but I do know that God is calling us to come and receive the yoke that would bind us to others so that we could get to work bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So this text teaches us that weary doesn't have to just mean tired, because there is a kind of tired that can't be fixed by a nap. There is a kind of tired that cannot be fixed by getting one day off from work. Some kinds of tired can only be fixed when we cast our cares on Christ. Some kind of tired can only be fixed when we answer Christ's invitation. Some tired is only relieved when we exchange our burden for his blessing. Some tired is only relieved when we get to work blessing others. And this scripture, like so many others, reminds us that we are blessed to be a blessing. This text reminds us that God is concerned about the whole community. If that were not the case, Christ would have offered us a harness. That's a tool that's built for one. If we were only supposed to be looking out for self, if we were only supposed to do me in this world, Christ would have said, okay, here's a harness for you. But because we're in this together, because two are better than one, as Ecclesiastes tells us, if one falls down, the other can help you up. Because it's always been about the children of God, the body of Christ, the Lord offers us a yoke, offers to join us up with other disciples who will keep us joined to him. Other disciples who will help us do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Even in quarantine, Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, what if we exchanged our heavy load today for Christ's light burden? What if we took that one thing that we can't stop worrying about to Christ and trusted him to take care of it? What if we trusted him to show us our part, what work we are to do, what tailor-made assignment we have? Because some of us answer the invitation, come to me, but we don't take full advantage of being Christ's guest. What you talking about, Pastor? I wonder, have you ever been invited to someone's home? And maybe it's somebody you don't know so well, so you wouldn't put your purse down the whole time you were there. You didn't want to stay too long. You told whoever you went with, we just going to pop in right quick. We're not staying here all night. Christ says, come to me. And we say, I'm going to just pop in right quick. We go to church, but we don't keep company with him as this text invites us. Christ says, come to me, and we won't put our purse down. We won't let go of whatever burden, whatever baggage, whatever heavy load we are carrying. And as we prepare to come to the table today on this first Sunday, I pray that we lay some burdens down, even as you're right there in your home at your kitchen table. Honor that as sacred space to release a burden to Christ today. I pray that as we prepare to come to the table, we remember that our Christian journey has never been about independence, but it is about declaring our dependence on God. Our God, who is a good, good Father, our God, whose eye is on the sparrow and is on us, our God, who Matthew 6 tells us, no matter what it looks like, we have nothing to worry about. Matthew 6 says, starting with verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Look at their sparrow. Do they not sow? They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? His eye is on the sparrow, we heard. And we know he watches over us. The text goes on to say, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows just how much we can bear. And so the text says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Friends, each day has enough trouble, enough worry of its own. And friends, if we take too much from tomorrow or hold on to too much from yesterday, we get weary. Weary by definition is just physically or mentally exhausted by hard work, exertion, or strain. And I might add to that, spiritually exhausted. Because sometimes we wear ourselves out trying to do what only God can do. Sometimes we wear ourselves out by being too busy to do what God has called us to do. That's why Christ offers rest for our souls. I wonder what has you weary today. Perhaps it's not even your own problem. Maybe it's a burden you're carrying for a loved one. Maybe it's a burden you're carrying for our community and for our world. It may feel heavy today, but I still hear Christ calling us to press on. I still hear Christ calling us to come to him. And in times like these, I'm reminded of the song, I Almost Let Go. I was right at the edge of a breakthrough, but couldn't see it. My problems had me bound, depression weighed me down, but God held me close so I wouldn't let go. That's the offer today. Christ is offering to hold us close so we won't let go. The song says, God's mercy kept me so I wouldn't let go. Friends, Jesus is a keeper, but we have to accept the invitation. And we have to be willing to lay our burden down, to stop our patterns of just hopping in right quick, not keeping company with the Lord. We have to accept the invitation. Are you tired? Worn out? Come to me, he said. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch me. See how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You can trust me, Christ says. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. What I'm asking you to do is custom designed just for you. So keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You will learn to stop waiting for someone else to give you only what I can give. You will learn that your dependence on me, Christ says, will bless you beyond what your independence ever could. You will learn that true freedom is found in me, Christ says. You'll learn that I am the vine and you are the branches. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So go ahead. Come to me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.